Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Hey, good to see you guys this morning. And we're in this series talking about our feelings and really talking about moving beyond living by our feelings. And we've been talking about how to live by faith. We looked at several scriptures over the last couple of weeks. 2 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul says we are to live by faith and not by sight. Amen? So we are to live, we are to be guided by our faith, not by our sight. What we can see, our feelings would be included in a part of that. See, our feelings are in our heart, our will, our emotions, our logic, our reason, our ability to think and process information. That's all stuff that we feel. Yet, and so we have those things, and I can't stress this enough. I want us to make sure that this is stated categorically from the beginning as we talk about this, because I do not want you to think that because you feel something that your feelings are the enemy. Amen? Feelings are not bad. They're not good. They're just feelings. And God created them. God created us with the capacity to feel, to sense, to see, to have emotions, to feel things deeply. That is actually a part of the way that God can speak to us and move in us. However, we've got to make sure that we are not being ruled by our feelings. Amen? So we talked about how to continue to act in faith. Last week, we dealt real specifically about how to act in faith, because we made this statement from the outset. We want to express our feelings and live by faith or act in faith. Amen? Everybody say that. Express my feelings, act in faith. So last week we dealt with acting in faith, how to get over our feelings and just begin to move in faith anyway. Today we are going to talk a little bit specifically about how to express our feelings without losing our faith. Amen? Say that with me. Express my feelings without losing faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence in this place today, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us prophetically today, Lord. Thank you that this is a divine season and moment and a day for some of breakthrough in our lives in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that breakthrough would just continue as we get into your word and dig into it together this morning for a few moments in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Now, in my house, some of you guys' house may be different, but in my house, in my family, between me and my wife, Luann and I, we demonstrate and manifest what are typically the two extremes when it comes to how to express or how to share what you feel and your emotions. And I'll just say this from the beginning, and I'm not saying this because my way is good, it's often wrong. And I'll say this, one thing that I'm learning as I do get older, and hopefully as I get older, get a little bit wiser, I'm beginning to see very clearly that often in life, extremes rarely lead to any place good. Any place positive. Amen. When I'm too extreme one way or too extreme the other, typically that will end up leading to someplace negative or at least having some negative effects. And I don't understand how you're able to open a can of Pringles and eat 3 or 4 Pringles and then put the lid back on and put it back in the cupboard and not touch it again for 3 or 4 days. I'm an extreme person. Everything I do is extreme. Amen. So if I pop the can, they're all going in my mouth in that moment. You know what I mean? Like, just I don't understand much about balance at all. But I'm learning that I need to get some more balance in my life, because extremes rarely lead to a positive place. In my house, we have the two extremes of expressing feelings. And those two extremes of how to express your feelings typically fall somewhere in between over-expressing your feelings, expressing too much, going crazy with your expression, or just trying to shut down the feelings altogether and not expressing them at all. Now, you might, I don't know if you can tell this or not just by our interaction here, but I am the extreme over-expressor. I'm a habitual over-sharer, and I'm an extreme over-expressor. So when I feel something, I feel it really deeply, really strongly, and I have a need to express that as strongly as I feel. Often for me, that comes out in anger. Now, the extreme expression may not be anger and yelling and screaming and going crazy, although that's typically what I end up slipping into, but you also could over-express that with severe depression or severe sadness and crazy, you know, tears and again, none of those things are bad. Anger is not a sin. Having tears is not a sin. Feeling sad and depressed about some situations is not a sin. But if I overexpress that, if that rule rules my life, now I'm moving away from faith. Amen. Now, on the other side of that is my wife, who will do everything she can, humanly known possible, to not express any feelings at all. I mean, she will, you know, I'm the person that just quick fuse and get it out, and then I'm done. She will literally be crying with tears coming down her face, and I'm going, what's wrong? And she's going, nothing, it's fine, nothing, it's fine. I'm like, oh, it's fine. You're sobbing like a baby and telling me it's fine. With this, so what I'm saying is both of those extremes have their pitfalls, and neither one of them are necessarily good. Let me just say this for all you overexpressers out there. I get it. It is not fair, because people think that just because someone is quiet that they're good and they're better than you because you're loud. Listen to me. I'm just loud. I'm not mean. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm just like, come on. So any overexpressers out there feel my pain? Because we always get the attention. Amen. Thank you. Let me just stand up for all of you this morning. Everybody out there watching, listen to me. I get it. It is not fair that just because we're the loudest ones, we get in trouble all the time. Amen. Come on, somebody. It's not fair that people think that we're these crazy emotional psychos just because we're louder than everybody else. You're feeling the same crazy emotions too. You're just refusing to share about it. Refusing to express it at all is just as unhealthy and just as bad as overexpressing it. See, when you're an overexpresser like me, you punch holes in the wall, you get mad. But here's the problem with that. When you overexpress, you create all these other problems that you're when you overexpress and go nuts, that this unhealthy expression of faith, it leads to these extremes. And when you overexpress, you end up with more feelings, because you hurt people. Now you got people with their hurt feelings, and you feel bad because you lost control, and it just takes you down this spiral. However, when you're a person that refuses to share, when you refuse to express your feelings, you just try to, what you often end up doing is you end up either A, ignoring them, but here's the thing, you can only ignore them for so long. And when you push them down for so long, they will come up, and when they come up, it will be a problem. Amen? I'll never forget when the first time I pushed my wife to that limit where she couldn't hold it in anymore. We were newly married. It was like, she knows exactly what I'm going to say. We had maybe only been married a year. We were living in Michigan. We were living in this apartment, and we were just, you know, spatting back and forth with each other. We had been to the grocery or something. We lived on this second story, so we had to go, you know, into the building and up the stairs to get to our apartment. And she said something like, you know, I don't know what she said, but she walked on in ahead of me. And as she walked ahead of me, I was like this. See, because I didn't know that she could see me when she turned the stairs. I didn't know she caught me. I didn't know she was going to catch me out of the corner of her eye. And so she caught me mocking her. And all of a sudden, that triggers all those feelings of anger that she had pushed down for the last year of that wonderful first year of marriage. They all basically boiled up into one moment. And all it took was me going like this. All it took was me going like that. And she turned around back down the stairs, and I swear to God, she grew 3 feet. She was like, and her voice got real deep. She's like, "What did you say?" No, she it went, but it was almost like that. I was honestly, it was the only time in my life I've ever literally been scared of my 5 foot tall wife. And like literally, I backed up. I was like, "Uh-oh, I done did something that I shouldn't have done." I just ran. I didn't come home for 3 days. So we worked through that. I had only had a black eye for a couple of days. It was fine. So eventually it will boil over. It will trigger. Here's the other thing that you can do though. If you're someone who refuses to share, refuses to express feelings, what you can often do is you will create fake feelings to match the ones that you're really feeling. You'll just kind of trick yourself. You'll play this little emotional game where you can trick yourself into going, no, I'm not hurt. No, that doesn't hurt my feelings. No, I'm fine. It's all good. It's fine. Well, here's the thing. You do that long enough, and you will begin to have a difficult time distinguishing what's real and what's fake in your own life. Right. And if I can't look in the mirror and tell what's real and what's not, then I've got real trouble in my life. Amen? Because it will throw everything off kilter. So I'm saying those two extremes both lead. And let me just say this too. Listen to me now. And this is one of my life mottos. But I just want to say this so we understand this. Fake it till you make it. Anybody ever heard that? I've probably said it from this pulpit. Listen, I believe in that. I do. But listen to me, guys. Fake it till you make it is not supposed to be a constant state of life. as a follower of Jesus, yes, there are some times where I might need to fake it till I make it. I might need to pretend, for lack of a better word, and do what I know I need to do, even when I don't feel like it. But guys, God has not wired us and intended that to be the permanent state of our life. At some point, I need to push through that, deal with what I'm feeling, push through that, and get to that place where I'm in faith. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Amen. Okay? So faith if you make is a temporary solution, not a permanent one. Okay? And so both of those extremes, one leads to a tailspin, one leads to all kinds of fake things, and or eventually lead to a giant explosion. Here's the deal. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is where faith comes in. I know you're like, when's he going to get to a scripture? We're right here. It's okay. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Put that up on the screen for me. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Listen to me. Faith wants to cut through, and faith through the word of God wants to cut through all of the fake expressions, all of the walls we build up, all of the things that we do to try to hide, all of the masks we do, all the things we try to do to not deal with our feelings. Faith wants to cut through all of that to set us free from those feelings so that we can operate in faith. Amen? Amen. Are you following me so far? But to do that, I've got to learn, I'm going to have to be able to express my feelings without losing faith. And if you go with me to Psalm chapter 13, and you might be following along a new version or turn there, we're going to be in Psalm 13 for the rest of our time this morning. Psalm 13 gives us an amazing example of David's life and how he was able to express his feelings but not lose his faith. And to be honest with you, not only Psalm 13, the entire book of Psalms shows us example. I mean, you could literally just flip open to Psalms and probably randomly pick a chapter, and you got a really good chance, probably like at least a 75% chance of running into a Psalm that's going to follow this pattern, because it shows up again and again and again in David's life, in David's poetry, in David's writing. Really, really awesome. The biggest chunk of that Psalms is a man expressing his faith in God through his feelings. Amen. And many of David's Psalms, David's not the only author of the Psalms, but many of his Psalms follow this pattern. We see this, but I'm going to read this, and then we're going to break this down a little bit this morning. Psalm 13, how to express our feelings without losing faith. He says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" These are all questions he's asking. "How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." Okay? So one thing I love about this psalm in particular, we don't know what the situation. Some psalms, if you read the part before the verse 1 actually starts, it'll kind of give you a little context of what's going on. There are some psalms that say, like, David wrote this in the wilderness running from Saul. There are some psalms that say David wrote this while being chased out of the kingdom by his son Absalom, and some of these things. But this one gives no background, gives no story, gives no context. It's just a man dealing with his feelings, trying to struggle through his feeling, express his feeling, but landing on faith. Amen. Amen. And so we see this amazing, but I want you to see this. See what David is feeling here. He spends the first four verses talking about how he feels. He says, "Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" So David feels forgotten by God. And then he says, how long will you look the other way?" So David feels forgotten by God, feels like God has abandoned him, feels like God has turned his back on him. He says, "How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day?" So there he is. He's dealing with depression. He's feeling down. He's not feeling excited. He's not feeling very encouraged. He didn't have the Red Life Worship Band singing Waymaker for him. I mean, he's struggling, man. He's down. He's out. It's not Sunday morning at 10:30. It's Thursday afternoon at 1:17, and you're feeling the grind of the week, and you're down. And that's where he's at. He's down. He says, "How long must I struggle with anguish? How long must I deal with sorrow in my heart every day?" He says, "How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" So not only does he feel forgotten by God, feel like God has turned his back on him, feel like he's dealing with all this depression in his heart, but he also has, outside of his own feelings, he's dealing with feeling like he's about to get defeated by his enemies. And he's looking to God, going, God, how long are you going to keep this up? And I want you to see this. Every question, look at this. How long? Verse 1. How long? Verse 1 again. How long? Verse 2. How long? Verse 2 again, okay? And then he goes on in verse 3. He says, restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. That's how depressed David is. That's how defeated David feels. That's how low he feels. That's how real and hurtful and how much he's struggling with his feelings. And he says four times, how long, how long, how long? You know why he's saying how long? You know how he's asking that? Because he's been dealing with this for a long time. He's went to church and it didn't change how he felt. He read his Bible, and he still had the feelings. He prayed, and he still felt like he was defeated. The pastor prayed for him, and it still didn't change how he felt in his soul. So he's going, Lord, how long? How long am I going to have to struggle with this? How long am I going to have to fake it till you make it, till I make it? But here's the same. So this is a deep emotional struggle that David's dealing with. But I want to see, we're going to see about four things that David does to express his feelings and not lose his first faith. The first thing he does is in verse 1. Verse 1, you can't get past it. It's the most, probably one of the most important ideas here about what David does. He starts off, put that back up for me, please. Psalm 13, verse 1. He says, oh, Lord. Who's David talking to? God. Let me help you real quick. Who you express your feelings to makes a big difference in whether or not you will end in faith or end away from faith. Because see, the way when I express my feelings in a healthy way, it will actually strengthen my faith. I will have a faith that's strengthened. When I express my feelings in an unhealthy way, my faith will often be weakened. So if I want to express them in a healthy way, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to express them to the right audience. And David, as the king, here's what you need to understand. Listen to me. David is the king of Israel. So this is something you need to understand. If I want to express my feelings in a healthy way, I probably, if at all possible, need to express them up. What I mean is this, and that could be to God. For David, he's the king. There's nobody above him. He doesn't have a boss. He doesn't answer to anybody. You understand what I'm saying? So the only person for him to truly express up to is God himself. Come on, somebody. What we often do when I'm feeling blue, when I'm feeling something, I don't mean this like, hey, we're all on different levels and these people are more important. I don't mean that. But I am saying that I need to express them up. I need to express my feelings up to someone who is maybe more mature than me, who has maybe walked the walk with Jesus a little more than me, who maybe has dealt with some of this before me, who's gone ahead of me and dealt with this. What I don't need to do is to express those feelings down to people who can't do anything to actually help me. Come on, somebody. I don't need to express those feelings to people who are maybe not quite along at the same place in life. I need to find somebody in my life that I can express laterally to, that we're on the same plane, okay? Again, I'm not talking about one person's better than the other. I'm just talking about in different stages of life. I probably need to try to express up. Come on, somebody. I need to express up, okay, for multiple reasons. I need to express up. David is expressing the Lord. But here's the principle I want you to understand. Besides just the idea of I don't want to, for instance, let me give you an example. And you could find all kinds of examples. Let me give you an example, though. If you get your feelings hurt in church, and this is, you listen, let me tell you something. If you're going to be around Red Life Church long enough, I promise you, you can get your feelings hurt. We're not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. We're not perfect leaders. We're just people who love Jesus and are trying to do our best to build the kingdom of God in our community. Amen. Okay? So if you, well, I've never been hurt there. Well, just hang around a little bit. You will be, I promise. Okay? You get hurt in church. You know what you need to do? You know what you don't need to do? The person you don't need to express that hurt to is not the person that just got saved a few weeks ago. That's expressing down. Okay? That's expressing to someone who is new to it. And now I'm going to express my feelings, and they may be real, they may be valid, they may be 100% justified, I may be completely right. But what I don't want to do is to somehow murky the waters for someone to think that, well, maybe church isn't the place for me if I'm just going to go to church and get hurt, and when God is at the very beginning of doing something in their life. Amen, somebody? I need to express those feelings up. I need to go to my leaders. I need to go to people who are on the same and say, man, I don't know, this thing happened, and do it in the right way. You understand what I'm saying? That's an example of expressing, knowing how to express my feelings, okay? But here's what you need to understand. Listen to me close. Listen to me. Because we have Facebook, we have Snapchat, we have Instagram, we have all these ways of sharing on a minute-by-minute basis how we think, how we feel, what we're doing, okay? Listen to me. Do not miss this. It's so important, I want it to be on the screen. Everyone hasn't earned the right to be given access to how you feel. And the reason the audience and who I express my feelings to is so important is because everyone that is around me has not earned the right in relationship to have access to the deep parts of my heart. If I share what I'm feeling with the wrong person, I can do them damage, and they can do me damage. What we often do when we're feeling something, whether it's hurt, whether it's anger, whether it's depression, you know, there's this principle, like attracts like. So what we'll do is we'll begin to share something, and we'll just kind of, what we're doing a lot of times, we're just throwing stuff out there to everybody to see who grabs onto it, and what will happen is the person who's feeling the same way, they'll grab onto it, and then we'll have a comfort in that. But what can happen if we're not careful and intentional about it, we can just sit there together, and we'll feel comfortable because now I have a partner, now I have somebody to go through this with me, but what we're going to do is end up just bringing ourselves down. And we're just going to wallow in that misery for a long time. Amen. Amen, somebody. Everyone hasn't earned the right to know how you feel. That being said, stop using your Facebook feed as a place for you to emotionally vomit. You are not helping your situation, and you're not helping other people. It's just a place for you to go. Listen, everybody who scrolls that, and everybody in your family, everybody in your workplace, everybody that you see at the grocery store, they haven't earned the right to show that they care about you, love you, want to see God's best for you. They have not earned the right to know how you feel. So share it with the right audience. Share it with someone who has proven to be a loyal friend. Share it with someone who has proven to have some wisdom and discernment and knows the Lord. Share it with someone who has maybe been through that before and knows how to pull themselves out, and they can give you some ideas of how to pull yourself out. Share it to the right audience. Stop giving. See, because when you give the wrong people access to your heart, they will begin to manipulate that and use that for their own end, or to control you, to get you to do things or whatever else. And then you wonder why everything is so jacked up. And maybe it's not that anybody did anything to me. It's just what happened was I gave too many people access to my heart. And when I'm already dealing with hurt, when I'm already dealing with feelings that are maybe a little out of control, man, I cannot afford to let just everybody into that space. That's a sacred place between me and God and those who by relationship have earned the right to be there. Amen, somebody. Everyone hasn't had to earn the right to have access to how you feel, so stop giving it to them. Stop giving people that much control. The second thing David does, he owns it, but he doesn't keep it. Okay? Say, own it, don't keep it. Say it again. Own it, don't keep it. Now, I love, yeah, see, you got to understand that you can own how you feel without letting it own you. I can own how I feel without letting it own me. See, sometimes, again, we go these extremes. It's like, well, I'm just not going to recognize any negative feelings at all, because negative feelings breed negative feelings, and if I'm feeling bad, I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to push that down. Listen, I don't believe that's a healthy way to express our feelings. That's not what David does. David expresses his feelings. He lets it out. He's honest. He says, man, I feel bad. God, I feel like you've forsaken me. God, I feel like you've forgotten me. God, I feel like my enemies are just about to take me out. Where are you? Why aren't you showing up? He owns how he feels. The first step for me to express my feelings, I've got to own where they are. If I'm angry, I've got to own that I'm angry. If I'm hurt, I've got to own that I'm hurt. If I'm confused, I've got to own that I'm confused before I can really begin to build anything beyond that. Amen, somebody? He owns it, so he owns it. He lets it out, but here's the thing. He doesn't keep it. He doesn't stay with it. He doesn't hold on to it. He owns it. He lets it out, but then he turns it towards God. Okay? And that's how I've got to end. That's if I want to own it without it owning me, what I've got to do is when I begin to be honest about what I'm feeling, when I begin to get honest about and begin to express what I'm feeling, I can't end that expression without that statement, those statements that David makes at the end where he turns it over to God. Amen? And that's really where it shifts, whether it's going to own me or I'm going to own it. I can own it, but here's what we do a lot of times. We'll just express how we feel. We'll express that hurt. We'll get it all out, and it's cathartic, and it feels good to let it out, and it's important to let it out. It's not healthy to keep all that stuff bottled up and hold that in. But in my letting it out, however long it takes, here David goes four verses. He goes four verses. This whole psalm is six verses. He spends two-thirds of it expressing his feelings, okay? So I'm not even saying that it has to be a minority of the time. David spends the majority of this psalm expressing his feelings and expressing his emotions. So it may take a while. You may need to let it out. You may need to go for a little bit. You may need to, whatever you got to do. Maybe keep it in a journal. Type it out somewhere. I don't know. Get it out. But don't just, when you're done getting it out, don't just go, okay, now I'm done, close the book, stop your prayer, stop the conversation, be like, man, that feels great to get all that out. Because what you're going to do is you might feel good for a minute, but you need to turn that and land those feelings somewhere. Amen? So David gets it out, lets it out, owns it, but then he doesn't keep it. He turns it over to God. He stops with, but God. Amen? But I trust in your unfailing love. And then he does this. This leads him to the third thing. Verse 5, he says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. You know how he turns it, over to God? He ends his letting it out. He gets it out, expresses emotions, expresses his feelings, but he ends with praise. He ends with praise. Let me tell you something. Praise is where your expression of feeling will turn from you owning it to it owning you. And if I don't end that expression with some sort of statement of faith in God, again, whether I feel it or not, saying, but God, you are good. God, I feel this, but you are good. But here's the thing. Here's what you got to understand. For you to do this, you're going to have to understand this about praise. Listen to me close. Praise comes from what God has revealed, not from what I feel. I praise God not based on how I feel in any given moment. I praise God because what he has revealed to me about who he is, what he has done, and what he has promised to be in my life. And I see that revelation in his word. Amen? So that's what David says. David says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will trust in your unfailing. Now, wait a second. He just said, Lord, how long are you going to forsake me? My enemies are coming to get me. I'm about to die. I need your help. But then he turns right around and says, but you have rescued me. What is he doing? He's already been revealed. He understands that through his relationship with Jesus, that God has already promised to rescue him. And if God has promised to rescue him, then it's just as good as it being done. So he, at the moment of feeling like he's about to get defeated, can say, but Lord, I know that you have already rescued me. I will rejoice in that. Why? Because praise comes from what God has revealed, not by what I feel. Amen? I don't need to look any further than the promises of God to have something to sing about on Sunday. Amen. Or to have something to sing about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever, what have you. Amen? Well, I just don't feel very victorious. That's okay. The Word of God has already told you you're victorious. Amen. Oh, I just feel defeated. That's okay. The Word of God has told you that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. That's where David's at. So I let it out. Man, I feel like garbage. I feel depressed. I feel angry. I feel this. But God, I'm going to praise you because you are good, because you love me, because you sent your son Jesus to die for me. So I let it out, but I don't stay there. I get it out. I express my feelings, but I don't stay there. I let it out. But I don't keep it. Amen? And praise is how I don't keep it. I praise in spite of my feelings. I will rejoice. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. You know, both those statements, I will, that tells me that these are intentional, conscious decisions that David is choosing to do. He's saying, I choose to praise in spite of what I feel right now. I choose to worship in spite of what my heart is trying to tell me. Okay? So if I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to just overpower me and make me come up to the front and dance around, that's just like I'm going to be a puppet. It's never going to happen. I'm going to have to make a choice. I'm going to get my breakthrough. And this leads me to our fourth thing that David does. I will rejoice because you have rescued me, say me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me, say me. What I need to do, I'm going to let it out. I need to see, and if I'm going to find something to praise, here's what I got to do. I've got to see what God has done for me. I've got to allow myself to declare that these things that God has shown in his word, these things that Jesus has done, he has not done it for somebody else. He has done it for me. Amen? Now, you'll probably never be told to be selfish in church, but I'm going to tell you in this one situation, listen to me, when you're expressing your feelings and you're dealing with emotions that are out of control and you're trying to get back into living by faith and not being ruled by your feelings, listen to me, then what you may need to do is start to get selfish with the promises of God and decide that these things aren't for somebody else, they're for me. They're not for somebody better than me. They're not for somebody more spiritual than me. They're not promises that God has made to someone who has lived for Jesus longer than me. They're not for promises that God has made to someone who has more money than me or anybody else. They are for me. He has rescued me. He has been good to me. He died for me. He promised me. This promise is for me. See it for yourself. Amen? It is a false humility to think, well, I just want to just trust God. And this is what we do. We spiritualize things that are inaccurate. Well, I just don't know. I would love to see God do that for somebody else. But I just, if God wants to do that for me, that's okay. But I'm not really too, I don't really, it doesn't have to happen. It's No, forget that. This is for me. God has promised to heal me. God has promised to provide for me. He's done it for you too, and I'm more than willing to believe for you too, but I'm not going to believe for you and not believe for myself. Come on, somebody. It's for me. It's for you. I got to see it for me. I got to see what God has done for me. You get selfish with God's promises. Now, this is the thing I want you to understand that I don't want to pass up. Way back in 1 Samuel, when David was first, before he became king, he was anointed king by the prophet Samuel. And God, remember God spoke to Samuel around 1 Samuel, around chapter 15, 14. He says, I have found a man after my own heart. Remember that? Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. David possibly loved Jesus. Of course, he didn't know Jesus like we do, but his revelation of Jesus through God in the Old Testament. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all theologically crazy with you. But David perhaps loved God more than anybody else known to man. I mean, it was David that said, Solomon, David's son, built the temple, but it was all David's idea. Did you know that? David was living in this palace, and David said, how can I live in this palace when God's ark, the Ark of the Covenant, is housed in this tent? He said, I'm going to build a temple for God that makes my palace look minuscule. And God said, David, you're not the man to do it. You got too much blood on your hands, but your son Solomon. So if you read the story there in like 1 Kings and 2 Samuel, you'll see that what David actually did, David laid all the plans, got all the materials together, got all the money together. He got everything because God said don't build it, but God didn't say don't plan it. So David got everything together and said, now Solomon, you're going to build the temple. Spent what would be the equivalent of literally probably billions of dollars today on it. I mean, this is a man who loved God. David, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem in the middle of his reign as king, it was David that was leading the worship procession out in front, dancing out of his, he literally took off his crown and his royal robes and said, in the presence of God, I'm just like everybody else, and I'm going to worship, I'm going to dance, I'm going to sing. And the Bible says he made a fool of himself. And when his wife looked at him and said, oh, look what you done did today, David. Boy, you really made a fool of yourself. He said, wait till you see what I do tomorrow, girl. So he said, that's my translation. But he said, wait till you see what I do tomorrow. He said, I will get even more undignified than this. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. He loved God. See, this right here is what's going to set somebody free today. He loved God, but he still had all these feelings. Just because he was a man after God's own heart didn't mean that he stopped being a man. Amen. And because he was a man, he dealt with his heart and dealt with emotions. And we can see from this psalm, just this psalm, and you can go through the psalms and see this kind of pattern, and these kind of statements by David are repeated over and over and over and over again. The argument could be, if I was a psychologist, I'd probably read this and think, man, it seems like David struggles with clinical depression. Because he's constantly, God, where are you? God, why do I struggle? God, I've got all this anguish. God, I've got all these burdens. God, I'm feeling, listen. But we got to reconcile the fact that just because I love Jesus doesn't shield me from feeling the stuff that I feel. Just because I'm serving God, just because I'm going after God with all of my heart, doesn't mean that I'm not going to have to deal with my emotions. In fact, if I'm serving God, if I'm going after God in the heart, it probably means I'm going to deal with a lot more emotions. I'm going to have to work through the junk that I feel that maybe is not godly and that comes from years of worldly thinking. I'm going to have to confront my own feelings. And just because I say yes to Jesus doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden just going to feel better all the time. See, some people start coming to church and they'll raise their hand, they'll accept Jesus because you think if you pray the prayer that we lead you in, that it'll somehow make you feel better.
That's right. Come on.
And it might for a time. But if I've got all these unresolved feelings and issues and emotional things that I've got to deal with, listen, me saying yes to Jesus is not going to wipe those away. In fact, at some point, Jesus will, in fact, lead me to a place. I promise you, I have. See, this is where I've been in my life the last, 2-3 years, where God has been leading me in my own personal journey, confronting wrong thinking, confronting feelings that have piled up over the years, confronting unhealthy ways I've dealt with these things. I'm sharing this to you because I'm one that has said, well, as a man of faith and power and God's Holy Spirit living on the inside of him, bless God, I just don't have to deal with that. No, God, I have, for me to get to the next place that God has for me to go, for me to be the thing and the person and the man that God has truly created me to be, I've got to let God deal with those things. I just got to figure out how to do it in the right way. I just got to figure out how to express my feelings without losing my faith. Will you stand me all over this place this morning? And I want you to look at David's life. David, a man after God's own heart. David, who defeated Goliath with a slingshot. David, who was known as a great warrior, as a great king, as a great man. David, who was known as the person who easily we could say loved God more than anybody else in this world. David was all of those things and still had all these emotions to deal with, and it didn't stop him from being who God called him to be. Now let this truth set you free this morning. If you're following Jesus with all of your heart to the best of your ability, guess what? It's okay that you still deal with feelings and emotions from time to time. It's okay. Just because you feel depressed about something, just because something's got you down, just because you feel something once in a while, doesn't mean God's forsaken you, doesn't mean that you're not serving God, doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus. You know what it means? It means that you're in the same boat that we all are. And what we've got to do is figure out how to express that and deal with that with the power of the Holy Spirit and let that lead us to a place where our faith is strengthened, not where our faith is weakened. That's what God wants to do. Amen. Close your eyes in the middle of this place this morning. I just feel there's such an anointing right now. This is together. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to speak to your people. Minister to each and every one right now, Father. In Jesus' name. If you're in this place this morning, my encouragement to you is to ask yourself what is your heart after? We looked at David, his heart was after God. Maybe yours isn't. Maybe yours is after something else. What I want you to know, what I want you to ask you to do and consider today, is maybe today is that time to let the Holy Spirit turn your heart towards God. What I want to tell you and what you need to know is you consider that and ponder that, is guess what, friend? God's heart is already turned towards you. So this is not a one-way street where you're just going to go for God. Listen, God's heart's already turned towards you. God's heart was turned towards you 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ lived this earth as a man and died on this earth 33 years later as a sinner, dying in your place and in my place for the sin that he never committed, yet said, I'm going to pay the penalty for him anyway in Jesus' name. And that's what he did. His heart is already turned towards you. So friend, if your heart's not after God this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you don't know him, if you've never asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never accepted for yourself the sacrifice that Jesus has already made for you, friend, you can do that today. You can do that right now. You can turn your heart towards God right now. And the way to turn your heart towards God is to turn your heart towards Jesus. So you're in this place today, you say, man, you know what? My heart's not turned toward God. I'm going after the things that I want. I'm going after myself. I'm really not living for anybody beyond myself or even just beyond my own family and my own idea. But God's not really part of it. He wants to be a part of it. His heart's turned towards you, and he's waiting for you to turn your heart towards him. I believe he wants to reveal himself to you and speak to you and let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his this morning. If you're in this place today and that's where you are, you say, man, I need my heart to turn towards God. I need my heart to turn towards Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right now. If that's where you say, man, Pastor, I need my heart to turn towards Jesus this morning. I'm going to give you that moment and opportunity. Just raise your hand right now. Right now, Lord, this room. Yeah. I didn't see any hand raised. So I'm going to assume that means that we're all in our hearts have been turned towards God. We're living for Jesus the best that we know how. Are we perfect? Probably not. But we're after God. That tells me two things. Number one, grab those invite cards, bring somebody with you whose heart hasn't been turned towards Jesus next week. And let's believe God to do a miracle in their lives. So number two, here's how we're going to pray. The worship team is going to lead us in a time of worship here as we close our time together. There's going to be some guys down here in the front if you want someone to agree with you in prayer about anything. It doesn't have to be about this message. Maybe you got a doctor's appointment or a surgery coming up this week or dealing with some issues. You just want somebody to touch with you and pray with you, man. That's what we're here for. Or if any part of this message has touched your heart this morning, you say, man, I just want to pray over this and let the Holy Spirit speak to me. These altars are going to be open for just a moment. But here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God help each and every one of us to figure out in our lives and in our journeys how to express our feelings without losing our faith. Can we do that together? Can we do that together in Jesus' name? I don't know about you, but I want what I feel to lead me closer to Jesus, not push me away from it. Amen? Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that we would be people that would just be completely surrendered and open to you and allow you to confront the things in our heart, the feelings in our heart, the emotions that we're dealing with. God, let us not try to mask it. Let us not try to hide it from you. God, let us figure out how you have called us and what you want us to deal with. And in Jesus' name, let us be people that are able to express our feelings without losing our faith. And I thank you for giving us the example of David that lets each and every one of us know that we can be after you and still have to deal with the emotions in our heart. And by your grace, by your power, by your spirit, we are able to do so in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.